Every Woman is a feminist show that highlights the struggles, triumphs, and accomplishments of women and girls and the men who support them. Every Woman includes a rich intersection of female voices that represent a wide range of ethnicities, social and economic status, as well as political and spiritual beliefs, with the purpose to enact social, political, environmental, and economic change. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and the guests and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, KKFI staff, board, or management.
Well, hello out there, all of our listeners. You are here for another edition of Every Woman on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Una in the studio here at our world headquarters at 39th and Main with Rachel behind the soundboard as our engineer today. Hello, Rachel.
Hi there. It's so good to be back.
Yeah. Well, we've been here for 3 hours now already, so enjoying our time here. And remotely from COVID Central at home, or I guess I should say Cat and Dog Central at home, we have Fiona, our other co-hostess.
Yeah, this is better not be COVID central. I don't want to be the one beaming that out into the universe.
Well, we did both get our second COVID shots yesterday, and I feel like I've got it all over again. So I think all of us have had our second shots, haven't we?
I have. I escaped. I had a sore arm, and that was about it. So I was very, very fortunate.
Yeah, well, I hallucinated, so...
This is reality. We're actually here, though. This is not an hallucination.
No, it is absolutely reality.
But doesn't a hallucination say that?
It's exactly the thing a hallucination would say.
That's true. Thankfully, I have a lot of experience with hallucinations, so I just kind of toy with them. But something we don't want to toy with is abortion rights and providing assistance to women and femme-identifying persons who need help when they are trying to find resources, they're trying to find support, they're trying to find anything to do to help them with what is obviously a very difficult decision in many cases, one not taken lightly and one that women need to be supported with and uplifted about. You sometimes run into the funniest pathways. Rachel calls it her squiggly line story. Had a little bit of a squiggly line story where I met someone locally at a nightclub here and started talking about science and found out that they were involved with a couple of funds here in Kansas City that do a lot of great work. I'm going to introduce first Katie Hildebrand, who is a member of the Kansas City chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. And we are also blessed to have with us on the show as well Elise Higgins, who is the vice president of the Kansas Abortion Fund, Michelle Lando, who is the board president of the Missouri Abortion Fund. So we have both states covered. We should have got Iowa and Nebraska on too somehow, you know, because our signal reaches. I mean, but and of course, last but not least, Angelica Wilcox, who is the Kansas City Democratic Socialists of America admin committee member and former co-chair. So we'd like to welcome all of you to this edition of Every Woman.
Thank you.
So
great to be here.
I'd like to start out first with, I guess, the two state funds. If you could, let's start with Kansas because I live in Kansas and I prefer it over Missouri. No, don't give me that look. And
no offense taken, none.
You know, so starting with the Kansas Fund, what is the mission and goals of the Kansas Abortion Fund?
Hey, this is Elise with the Kansas Abortion Fund, and thanks again so much for having me. The mission and goal of the Kansas Abortion Fund is just to assist all Kansans in need of financial support to obtain abortion services. It's as simple as that. We support any Kansan having an abortion, no matter where in the state or the country that abortion is happening. All you have to do is be a Kansan and qualify for financial support through the clinic that you're having an abortion at, and we will help to pay a portion of the fee that your abortion costs.
That sounds just really like a wonderful effort overall. And I assume the Missouri Abortion Fund has a similar goal or a similar mission as well.
Yes. Hi, I'm Michelle Lando. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the board president of the Missouri Abortion Fund. And our mission is almost exactly word for word what the Kansas Abortion Fund mission is. But I would like to lift up that the reason why there are two different funds in two different states is because, unfortunately, because of different state laws, a Missourian trying to get an abortion, it looks a little bit different than a Kansan getting an abortion or someone living in Chicago, for instance. So that's kind of the cool thing about abortion funds, I think, is that we are truly, truly members of our own community. We're members of the communities that we're trying to serve.
And I think that brings us to the next thing that I wanted to ask about was the relationship between the Democratic Socialists of America and the two funds. I believe we've had representatives of your groups on before on the Heartland Labor Forum, perhaps. But I was wondering, you know, what has you all, what's the common thread, I guess, in this squiggly line story?
Sure. So this is Katie. So I know I'm pretty new to DSA, but nationally DSA has been involved with the National Network of Abortion Funds Fundathon they have annually since 2016. And so this is the first year that the Kansas City chapter has been involved in it. But, you know, certainly as a member of the DSA, we feel that abortion is healthcare and that healthcare is a human right and that abortion should be free at the point of access with no apologies. And so it just seemed like it really fit in where it's, you know, just really fit in with our beliefs. So we're excited about the opportunity to form connections with these funds and also really support our communities.
So when were the... Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead, Fiona.
I was going to say, I've been seeing a lot online recently about reproductive justice, and that should include people's ability to have access to reproduce if they wish to, but also not to if they don't want to, and that's meant to be a more inclusive term because a lot of people in the LGBTQIA community feel excluded, usually by discussions. And I imagine if you're a non-binary person or a transmasculine person who wants access to an abortion, most of the groups that provide assistance are very focused on women and might be exclusive. Do you have any comments on that or any advice to anyone?
Yeah, this is Elise for the Kansas Abortion Fund, and we'd love to talk more about that. And first, I want to ground us in the definition of reproductive justice, which is a framework invented by Black women in the early 1990s to address what they saw as a huge gap in addressing Black women's lived experiences in, at the time, what was sort of a health reform discussion under the Clinton administration. And reproductive justice has three tenets, right? One is that everybody should be able to prevent or end pregnancy. One is that people should be able to have children. And then the third is that people should be able to parent children in a safe and healthy environment. And that's particularly important for particularly people of color and poor folks who are often denied the right to parent based on involuntary sterilizations, violence from police, you know, a lack of access to reproductive technologies for queer and trans folks, as Fiona mentions. And so it's a great framework to use when we look at reproductive like health and rights, because it allows us to see the full picture of somebody's reproductive life and not leave people out, as you say. And so at the Abortion Funds, Michelle and I really are fitting into really only one of those tenets, right, of reproductive justice, but are doing that in as inclusive a way as possible. And when the Kansas Abortion Fund changed our name a while back, just to make it a little bit clearer what it is that we do, we also did our best to really scrub gendered language from what we do so that it's clear that we support and include and fund trans men and non-binary folks and women who have abortions.
That is really
incredible. Thank you. Sorry, we're stepping on each other a lot today. I think we're both too enthusiastic for the topic. I was just going to say, I feel that's really important, and especially for people in that community, because people that are intersex may have been sterilized at birth because of society's need to make them fit squarely in one peg and hole rather than being allowed to be themselves and choose later. Emma, did you want to say something quickly, or would you like us to go to our next break so we can dive into the topic more fully afterwards?
Rachel gave me the signal that we had about 1 minute, I think, till the next break. So I had a question about the Democratic Socialists. Let's go ahead and go to our break so we don't break up the question, and we will be right back. And welcome back to Every Woman on KKFI, where we are speaking with representatives of the Kansas Abortion Fund, Missouri Abortion Fund, and the Democratic Socialists of America. I think that somebody, I'm trying to look in the chat here, somebody wanted to talk a little bit about the name change. I think it was Michelle.
This is Michelle from the Missouri Abortion Fund. And yeah, we also changed our name around the same time that the Kansas Abortion Fund changed theirs. We've been an organization since 2016, and when we first formed, we were called the Gateway Women's Access Fund. So we changed it for two reasons. First of all, even though most of our founding members are in the St. Louis area, the term gateway doesn't really represent the fact that we do represent every single part of the state of Missouri. And I'm proud to say that we have helped people from every county in Missouri with funding for an abortion in the time that we've been doing this. So we wanted to make sure that everybody knew that we were a statewide fund who was we fund abortion. We wanted to be clear about what we did and to take the gendered language out of it. And it's a continuing project to make sure that we are living our goals and living by the reproductive justice framework that Elise laid out earlier.
Oh, I can imagine that that is quite a task. And I see that from the website, which of course is an easy way to do some quick research on people, that the Democratic Socialists of America are supporting this effort by a 2021 fundathon, which has been trying to raise money. Would someone, Katie or Angelica, like to talk a little bit about that?
Katie, this is Angelica. I pronounce her she, her, but Katie has really been one of our newer members who has been spearheading the effort. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So this is the first fundathon that I've taken part in. So actually, maybe the directors and the funds here might have a little more information on. I know there's a fundathon season, so this is kind of during that time where they're really trying to get financial support from the community to help build up their funds so that they can help support anyone who's supporting or anyone who is seeking an abortion. So what we're doing this year is I'm just doing it through my own network of personal, you know, friends. But we're hoping to have an event sometime, probably later in the fall. But for now, I know the Kansas Abortion Fund just recently had an event as well. And the Missouri Abortion Fund is having one coming up, right? Yes, we are.
And
okay, great.
We are going to be giving links to all of your websites as well as publishing them on our social media pages with the interview so that listeners can find out more information easily. We actually have a question from social media here from one of the listeners out there in the audience who is asking, they had the impression that there really weren't that many facilities available to persons to get abortion services. And I think my recollection is there's only a couple in Kansas.
I can speak to Missouri, actually. So Missouri is one of a handful of states that only has one abortion clinic in the entire state. And unfortunately, that abortion clinic has had to slow down some of their operation due to COVID. So basically the people that we are funding have to travel out of state. So kind of, as Elise mentioned earlier, that the Kansas Abortion Fund supports people who are from Kansas no matter where they're going to get their abortion, and that's the same for Missouri as well. And unfortunately, the vast majority of the people that we have helped with funding have had to travel out of state. In fact, in 2021, we have so far helped over 400 people with funding for abortion procedures, and I believe only 25 of them have actually had their procedure in Missouri.
That's right. This is Elise with the Kansas Abortion Fund, and a full half of the people who have abortions in Kansas are actually from Missouri. So that's a huge factor, and there are two places you can get an abortion in Kansas, in Overland Park and in Wichita, which creates real access issues for folks who live in western Kansas as well as southeast Kansas.
I know that the Overland Park office is not terribly far from our house. In fact, my dentist used to be right near it, and there's protesters out there all the time. And sometimes when I would get out of my car and I would be going towards the same building, they would all of a sudden have an eagle eye on me. It was very intimidating. Like, they thought I was heading in to utilize that service. Like, no, I'm getting a root canal, you know, which is, if you all want to be part of that, you can. But it was really intimidating, even though it was local. And the fact that there's only two, where is the one in Missouri located?
It's in St. Louis City.
Oh, geez. So it's just, wow.
This is an issue because UMKC took away the admitting rights to their hospital for an abortion provider who was in the middle of the state. It was in the place that was reachable.
Yes. So actually, a few years ago, we had abortion services that were, Missourians had access to abortion services in Columbia, but due to what's called a TRAP law, that stands for Targeted Restrictions for Abortion Providers, they lost their license because they took away admitting privileges for the physicians that helped perform abortions in the city of Columbia. So that's one of the reasons why we only have the one clinic in the state.
Yes, I noticed that there was a swathe of laws that got passed around the same time in many states, and they were all requiring abortion providers to have admitting privileges to hospitals, where despite the really low risk of complications during abortions and things like plastic surgery and so forth that tend to have higher complication rates, for some reason, it's not considered that it's important for the woman's health for those providers to have admitting privileges to hospitals. So it was really clear that it was just targeted at shutting down abortion clinics and women's right to choose.
That's right, Fiona. Those laws passed in both Kansas and Missouri. And luckily, there's some national precedent now, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court. Can't believe I'm saying that those laws are unconstitutional. And that still has to get worked out at a certain level in state courts. And meanwhile, there are a lot of other barriers that folks face when it comes to accessing abortion because there are so few. And one of those huge ones is geography. And then, of course, another one is finances, which is where the abortion funds come in. And we're so grateful for the support of DSA chapters and also, you know, all the other individual funders who really make our funds work. We supported over 50 people just this past month in Kansas with accessing abortion. We're spending about $9,000 a month, and that money goes quickly. And so we really do count on grassroots fundraising to help folks overcome all the barriers that are in place because of the state to abortion access.
So you said about helping people overcome the barriers. I know a lot of the states have put in laws that say that people have to have a consultation and then wait 24 hours or 72 hours before they can actually have the abortion. And that means if you've had to travel a long way, like so many of the states have made the case, you could be away from work for 3 days and having to pay for hotels and things. Do your funds provide for assistance with that aspect too, or just for the cost of an abortion?
in Kansas, we just help to support the cost of an abortion. There's other institutions like the Midwest Access Coalition that does help folks with rides and also with, you know, hotel stays. And we recognize there are so many kind of hidden costs when it comes to abortion access, but we do just help with the clinical procedure. Michelle, what do you all do in Missouri?
We're set up very similarly. I was going to kind of lift up the National Network of Abortion Funds. I think that part of the one of the benefits of being a member of the National Network of Abortion Funds is that we're able to kind of talk to other funds, because there are other organizations that might help with different pieces of these access issues. And so together we're able to help bring access, make access a reality to a lot of people who it wouldn't have otherwise been that way.
Thank you. I think you're no one to address something, right?
Well, I saw that there was a... There was a question from a listener on how much abortions actually cost and were they covered at all by insurance, and I guess that would depend upon your insurance plan entirely.
Actually, in the state of Missouri, there is a law that says that you cannot use your insurance for the cost of an abortion. And for most Missourians, I know, and again, like, this is kind of where that whole I mentioned at the top of the show that abortions for Missourians might look different than it does for Kansans. In Missouri, the cost of an abortion, the lowest cost is about $550. And that is, again, not taking into account whether or not you need to get child care or transportation costs or possibly lodging, because most Missourians live more than 100 miles from a clinic. So, again, kind of going back to those hidden costs that Elise was lifting up earlier. And how much does an abortion cost for Kansans, Elise?
In Kansas, the minimum cost is about $750. So at the Kansas Abortion Fund, we usually pay between $200 and $500, depending on how far along you are and how much your abortion costs. And we have the same law in Kansas, unfortunately, where private insurance does not cover abortion. And so folks are paying out of pocket for that. And that creates a huge, huge financial barrier. Medicaid also doesn't cover.
Even in the cases where that abortion is necessary for the mother's health or survival, is it still banned to use your insurance for that? No one wants to be the one to answer.
Sorry. I'm happy to answer if Michelle checks things out. So, yes, there's technically a caveat in these laws that says that if you're going to die without having an abortion, or if the abortion is needed because of a case of rape or incest that's been reported to law enforcement, then technically you should be able to get that covered. However, it's a lot of paperwork. We know that famously law enforcement does a bad job with sexual assault and rape cases, and so a lot of those are not reported. And functionally, only a couple people a year ever pass through those exceptions in Kansas. I don't know what that looks like in Missouri, though.
It's the same in Missouri. And thank you, Elise. You put it into way better words than I could.
Now, I did have
I was thinking it really gave the lie to the fig leaf of it being for the parent's health, the other laws that they've got in place.
Yes, I've had another person on social media that was listening live and asked this question. You mentioned earlier about a favorable Supreme Court ruling. Are you aware or concerned about some possible changes that could be coming, especially now that we have the handmaiden, unquote, on the bench as well?
We're terribly concerned about that, yes. In Kansas, we may, depending on the outcome of an August 2022 vote on the state constitution, we may continue to have constitutional protections for the right to abortion. So Kansans may have heard that there's going to be a question on our ballot about amending the constitution of Kansas to say that there's no right to abortion in the state. It's a terrible amendment, really dangerous. And if Roe v. Wade is overturned or undermined, could lead to a ban on abortion in the state. So we don't want that to pass. Assuming that it doesn't, and I have every confidence that the coalition of folks that we belong to will keep that from happening, Kansas may end up becoming something of a location where folks travel to access abortion if in states like Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska, et cetera, if the Supreme Court does end up undermining Roe v. Wade or sending that decision back to the states, or even just incrementally cutting off abortion access week by week until it's only legal early in the process.
So I'm going to...
And I will say...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
As I said, Missouri does have what's called a trigger law where if Roe does fall, abortion will be completely illegal in the state. However, as I mentioned before, we only have one clinic already, and that clinic is not operating like it has been in previous years. So we kind of almost are already there in states like Missouri. So we're very thankful for states like Kansas and the coalition that Elise mentioned, for people who are still fighting to keep abortion at least legal in the states in the middle of the country. But again, we, as I think we can glean from this conversation so far, just because abortion might be legal does not make it accessible.
I wanted to pivot back to the Democratic Socialists on our call here and just ask, as a political activist organization, do you get involved in any of these policies and these laws to try to get these things overturned or make sure that abortion access and rights are, you know, maintained?
At the Kansas Abortion Fund, we are part of a coalition of organizations that includes Planned Parenthood, Trust Women, Urge, Unite for Reproductive and Gender Equity, and the ACLU, that's fighting back against this terrible constitutional amendment. Our primary focus is always going to be on ensuring that people can afford abortions. And at this point, we have to be involved in political work because we need all hands on deck. And without the legal right to abortion, we can't do what we do.
This is Angelica from KCDSA. We definitely have, so there's the National DSA organization, and then there are chapters, and nationally, I know there is a socialist feminist working group. I'm not directly involved with them, but definitely abortion access and reproductive justice is one of their main focuses. And any time poor and working class people are being marginalized, they are being targeted, they don't have access to the same opportunities that maybe rich capitalist folks would, we are there. We want to be part of the fight. We support anyone and everyone, and definitely I think there would be opportunities for us to be involved in that way, definitely. Katie, did you want to add anything else to that?
No, I think you summed that up nicely. And I like that you mentioned that, you know, these restrictive laws really do target the working class people. It makes it so important, your income and your location, but I think mostly income. It's not acceptable. And so we certainly would want to be a part of changing that.
I was interested in browsing the Democratic Socialist website that there's a couple issues that I actually am working on, which I can't talk too much in detail because I can't let my day job cross over, but the crisis, the freeze in Texas, is one of the issues that you all are working on, with the issues with ERCOT, as well as the Green New Deal. I'm an environmental engineer at work, working to decarbonize power plants as it happens. So it seems like that your organization is really working in a lot of different areas that are just trying to really benefit and help people out. Are there some other really I guess, I, for lack of a better word, cool programs. That doesn't sound very professional on the radio, but any cool programs that the DSA is working on?
Yeah, so every chapter across the country kind of does, they choose what's important to them, because it is member-funded. We pay dues and we, you know, work with each other on our own time for free, like you said, for the advancement of feminist and working class causes. In Kansas City in particular, it has ebbs and flows based on, you know, who is, what the membership is looking like, who has the free time and the capacity to be organizing. And, you know, with COVID, we are all on Zoom, basically.
Like right now.
Lately, we've got, some of us did phone bank for the PRO Act, which is the Protect the Right to Organize Act. And so they set it all up for us, the National DSA, and you just get on the dialer and you call. We called people in states whose Democratic senators were not yet on board with this act, which would make it easier for people to form unions, and just basically it would be not so good for maybe the Chamber of Commerce type folks who are against it. But so that's it. Phone banking is key. And in Kansas City, we've also got, I think it's still on, maybe Katie knows, but we have a reading group for Marx, Works by Marx, and I believe our prison abolition group is very active as well. In past years, we have partnered with the Real Justice Network to put on the Black Mamas Bailout Bowling.
Oh, yes.
I think it's a bowl-a-thon, but we raise money to bail out mothers from jail. So whatever people are passionate about, that's what we're working on.
Thinking of passionate about things, I did hear straight after some states passed laws making it illegal to leave the state to get an abortion. I heard a huge outcry on Twitter against this, and people posting and saying, hey, anyone who's having issues with access to healthcare where they are, the quotes around the healthcare, are welcome to come and stay with their auntie, in quotes, who just happens to be right down the street from an abortion clinic. No questions asked. Obviously, you need to come and recuperate in the country, and I can put you up for free. And I think there is actually an existing network of people who provide access if people have to travel for abortions because they don't have access where they are. Do you have information about that on your site, or can you provide information?
Absolutely, Fiona. This is Elise with the Kansas Fund, and we have seen those laws pass, and I expect we'll see more as the Supreme Court continues to undermine access to abortion. And it's important to remember that there is already a national network of people who are organized and informed and have been vetted as safe people to help shuttle people to and from their abortion appointments, provide lodging, provide food, and provide money. And that network is the Network of Abortion Funds. So, you know, Michelle and I communicate with each other, funds across the country communicate through the National Network of Abortion Funds, and it's really important to sort of follow the leadership of folks who are already doing the work and who, I should say, are often led by women of color, particularly in the South.
That sounds like a situation a few years ago where I believe a young person was trying, in Ireland, was being prevented from traveling outside the country to receive an abortion after, I think it was a case of rape or incest. And it was just absolutely abominable that they could say, no, you have to stay here. We also, the three of us, host the 10th Voice, the LGBTQIA rights show that was ran at 1 o'clock. And we talked about a law in Arkansas that was passed recently that would criminalize doctors even referring patients to out-of-state clinics for transgender treatment. It sounds just as horrible. I don't even know how they can do that. I mean...
Well, and something to keep in mind, too, going back to people wanting to help, I will echo what Elise said, and I encourage them to get involved with their local abortion funds or other reproductive justice organizations that are doing work on the ground, because this is not a new phenomenon. This is not new. We've been doing this for a really long time. I know for myself personally, my first job out of college in 2007 was at Planned Parenthood. And at that time, there were 8 clinics in the state of Missouri. And at that time, was horrified at the barriers that people had to abortion care in my state. And, you know, now, like we mentioned, there's only one. So we're experienced in doing this. And we've formed really tight networks, and we work really well together.
And you mentioned support in general, and Una talked before about how intimidating it was going into that building past the people protesting. Do you sometimes provide support for people who just walk with them into the building and be an emotional buffer like that in that network of groups?
So the Missouri Abortion Fund doesn't have a clinic escort program. Our escort program is actually through Mayoral Pro-Choice Missouri. I am a clinic escort. I really enjoy it. There's something to be said for just a person walking someone from their car into a clinic just to feel like they have a friend there.
That's right. Nobody deserves that kind of stigma and harassment. And in Kansas, I know that the abortion clinics actually help to run their own escort programs. And when I used to work at Planned Parenthood, I got to train folks to do that. So really fulfilling work, another great way to get involved if you're interested.
Yes, I confess I tend to flip off the protesters as I'm driving past, which is totally unproductive. And I probably should get involved more in the positive and actually making a change aspect instead.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, doing that's probably not productive, especially where they could take down your license plate and find out where you live and things like that. So please stop doing that.
Michelle, did you have something to say?
Oh, no, I was just, when you mentioned taking down your license plate, you know, the protesters at the clinic where I escort at a independent abortion clinic in Granite City, Illinois, which is right over the river from St. Louis. They definitely take your picture. They take your license plate down. They put you on their website. They say really terrible things to you. And it's just people deserve more dignity when they're trying to access healthcare, and that's part of what I love about abortion funding, kind of to bring it back around to the abortion fund aspect of it, because even if someone's just short $50 or $100, we can help them with that, and then they don't have to go to someone who maybe they didn't want to ask for money for an abortion, or they didn't want to tell them that they were having an abortion. So it's about dignity, and it's about just treating people better, I guess. And I will also mention that we are an all-volunteer organization. We don't have any... We are actually in the process of hiring our first full-time paid staff person, but at the time of this show, we don't have anyone working for pay to do this. So this is all... pretty much every cent that comes in goes directly back to the community and the people who need it.
That sounds very familiar here at KKFI. We have about 180 volunteers. And do we have 4 full-time staff, Fiona?
Four.
So the people that are absolutely necessary to keep the place, you know, from burning to the ground or whatever. So we have our second station break coming up right now, and we'll be back very shortly to find out some more information about how to find out more information from these groups. Thank you.
We'll be right back after this.
And welcome back to Every Woman, where we are speaking with the Missouri Abortion Fund, Kansas Abortion Fund, and last but not least, the Democratic Socialists of America. We were talking about being confronted by protesters. I remember being confronted by an anti-abortion protester outside of a Price Chopper. They were doing something where they were targeting grocery stores for some reason. I got into an argument with one of them and said, look, I'm an intersex transgender woman. I'm not even the same species as you. You know, what do you, I'm everything that you hate in this world. You shouldn't even be near me. Oh my goodness. But, so we want to, as I said, we're going to have links to your organizations and, how people can get in touch with you. But I guess we can go in no specific order. What is the best way that people can reach out to get more information and volunteer to help in some way if they would like to? Start with Missouri. Why not?
Well, if you want to know more about the Missouri Abortion Fund, I think the best way to do that would be to visit our website, which is mofund.org. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. On all three of those, our handle is Mo Abortion Fund.
Thank you very much. And then I guess we'll go to Kansas next.
Absolutely. In Kansas, we are at kansasabortionfund.org. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then if you want to go to our fundraiser specifically, you can go to bit.ly/KAF2021. That's all lowercase. And wanted to just say a quick word about stigma in response to what Una was talking about and say, first, I'm so sorry that you face stigma around being a trans intersex woman. And abortion is normal, right? It is a completely, like, common, safe, normal procedure. And I'm so glad that you're having us on this radio show to address this issue that although there is a lot of stigma and fear around it, and of course, you know, it's constantly being batted around by politicians, at the end of the day, it is a normal part of people's reproductive lives that deserves to be like safely accessible no matter where you live and no matter how much money you make. And I'm so proud that we're all a part on this radio show of the fight to ensure that anybody who needs an abortion can get one with dignity and with accessibility.
Oh, it was, I actually had kind of fun seeing the look of horror in their face when I told them I was an intersex trans woman. It was like a demon had suddenly appeared in front of them. I thought they were going to start using holy water and say, the power of Christ compels you, you know, whatever. So Democratic Socialists of America, it was mentioned, I think, by Angelica that you have local chapters as well as the national chapter. What was the best way, I guess, for people locally? Should they go to the national site, or do you have a special local site set up?
We do have a local site. It is just kansascitydsa.com. We are also found on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, you can search for our handle. It is at Kansas City DSA. And I believe on Facebook it is KC Democratic Socialists of America. Some permutation of that. If you search, you should get to where you want to go. Basically, to be a member of the local chapter, you just have to be a member of the national one. They like it when you set up to pay your dues monthly by, you know, bank withdrawal or credit card. That way, some of the funds go back to our local chapter, and then we can put on cool things like the bowling events. We had like a barbecue one time for the Medicare for All working group, or the healthcare working group. You know, it's just fun to hang out with with people who believe, you know, humans have dignity. We don't all need to be machines working to line the pockets of the capitalist class. So, yeah, we'd love to see you all on our next Zoom meetings. We've got the schedule on our website. It was lovely talking with you all.
Now, Fiona, I think you had a final thing you wanted to close out the show with here. Rachel's just signaled we have 2 minutes.
I just wanted to revisit the dignity and the stigma piece. So many people that are in favor of the right to choose and the right to have an abortion, when they're talking about it, because of the stigma in society, they're afraid to just come right out and say that they are in favor of people's right to have an abortion. So they tend to talk about the edge cases, the rare occasions where it's for the sake of the woman's life, which in some states even that's banned, and the other edge cases of the incest or abuse cases or rape. And I feel that if you are in favor of abortions, there should perhaps be some training or resources to help people talk about that, to actually avoid the edge cases and just actually say your opinion and feel safe saying it. Do you know of any resources like that? I'm seeing blank faces, so maybe there isn't a good source for how to express your opinion safely and clearly to mitigate the stigma of abortion in our society.
Fiona, I just needed a second to think about that. I really recommend checking out Planned Parenthood's website. They've got a lot of great factual information about how abortions work and who has them. And I would also encourage folks to really focus on those who are in kind of the mushy middle as opposed to people who adamantly disagree on abortion. It can be a really polarizing issue, and I think there's room for common ground when it comes to both the commonality and also prevention.
I think this
thank
has been...
Thank you so much for being with us today.
This has been a really great conversation. I want to thank, in no particular order other than how I jotted it down, Katie Hildebrand from the Democratic Socialists of America, Elise Higgins, the Vice President of the Kansas Abortion Fund, Michelle Lando, Board President of the Missouri Abortion Fund, and Angelica Wilcox as the DSA Admin Committee Member and former co-chair. Thank you all so much for spending your afternoon with us and our listeners and giving us some great information. Have a wonderful day.
Yep. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. Urban Connections is next.